first women in the United States suffer complications from pregnancy and childbirth at a much higher rate than in other developed countries. And some of those complications can be deadly. A new investigation finds that despite effective safety measures being well understood in the medical field, many hospitals aren't using them. California has adopted standard practices that have reduced maternal deaths, but the rest of the country has been slow to get on board. Allison Young is an investigative reporter for USA Today, writing about health, environment, and consumer issues. She recently reported on this, and Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson talked with her earlier today.
Can you please give us a sense of the problem and the scope of the problem of maternal death and injury in the United States?
So one of the things that may be surprising to people is that despite the United States being one of the wealthiest countries in the world and having one of the most expensive healthcare systems, we have the highest rate of maternal deaths. These are women dying from pregnancy and childbirth-related conditions. One of the highest rates of maternal deaths in the developed world. And that's a pretty shocking thing. And we're talking about 700 women a year, approximately, die for childbirth-related reasons. But here's the even more staggering number. 50,000 women a year suffer very serious life-threatening complications related to childbirth. These are women who have to undergo transfusions. They end up in ICUs. They're put on ventilators. They suffer strokes. They may have to have hysterectomies and are no longer able to have children. 50,000 women a year are having these kinds of things happening to them. And one of the things that we're reporting is that the best estimates out there from when scientists have studied these women dying is about half of those deaths are potentially preventable with better care. And for those women who are surviving and suffering these very serious harms, as many as half of them could have had their injuries lessened or potentially prevented with better medical care.
I want to go back to something you said, that the U.S. has the worst rate among developed countries. What can we attribute that to? I mean, that just seems so shocking.
So one of the things that has been out there for quite a while is as the death rate among women has been going up for many years, I've covered health for a long time, and one of the things that is talked about the most is that experts have blamed the women. They've focused on the fact that women are older when they're giving birth. They may be obese, and that brings a variety of complications to the table. We are, as a society, less healthy. We have diabetes and other chronic health conditions, and all of those things increase the risks for women when they are getting pregnant. And to be sure, those things are risk factors. They are contributing to how much harm is occurring to women who are giving birth. But those factors are in place in places like the United Kingdom. And women there are suffering harms at a fraction of the rate that they are in the United States. And one of the factors that is starting to get increasing attention within the medical community is the care that is being provided by medical professionals, and in particular, in the hospitals where women are going to give birth.
I want to get into more of the data, but I also want to make sure that we put a human face on this and get to some of those risk factors in the process. You share several heartbreaking stories in your reporting that show how things can go wrong. One was Allie Lowry from Ohio. Can you share her story with us?
Sure. So Allie Lowry was a first-time mom. She also happened to be a labor and delivery nurse. And so she had witnessed and helped many other women give birth. But this was finally going to be a child of her own. And she delivered at her own community hospital. And in her case, she started passing out shortly after getting back to her room after what seemed to be a pretty routine cesarean section delivery. And over the course of many hours, her blood pressure was plummeting. And no one was looking for her hemorrhaging. And it later turned out that she had been bleeding internally for quite some time and was in very bad shape by the time that they ultimately took her in and did some exploratory surgery. in her case, she nearly died because by the time she was transferred to another hospital, her hospital had run out of blood to even give her, to keep her alive. And in the end, this other hospital was able to find the source of the bleeding. But she was in such bad shape, they had to perform a hysterectomy to save her life, which meant she could not bear any more children going forward.
We're talking with Allison Young right now. She's an investigative reporter for USA Today, and we're talking about a very in-depth and comprehensive piece of Allison's about maternal death in the United States. And so that story of Allie Lowry, she was hemorrhaging and losing massive amounts of blood. The other, it seems, very common complication is high blood pressure and leading to stroke and sometimes death. Are those the two main issues that you came across?
Yes. So two of the leading preventable causes of maternal death and serious injuries are hemorrhage, the excessive bleeding after childbirth, and severe blood pressure conditions. Preeclampsia is one of them. And in both of those cases, what experts have found is that women are suffering harms because providers may be in denial that something bad is happening and they're not recognizing it early. And then there are delays in treatments that by the time that this is occurring, it becomes much more difficult to save the woman's life. We featured the case of another woman named Yolanda Menchen, who there is a recognized danger level. If your blood pressure goes above it, you're supposed to get immediate treatment with some very specific blood pressure drugs that are generally given only intravenously. And there is a there can be a lack of recognition that pregnant women's bodies react to blood pressures in ways that are far more dangerous than someone who's not pregnant. And what we found, and we got data from specific hospitals around the country, is that high percentages of women at some hospitals are not receiving these IV or other appropriate blood pressure treatments within the one-hour time frame after they have these dangerous blood pressures. And so we are giving a variety of tips for women. If they come to maternal.usatoday.com in our project, you can get tips for how you can check out your hospital and ask questions, but also some of the warning signs and questions to ask if you're looking out for your own care or the care of a loved one.
So there are protocols, recognized protocols, for treating these conditions before they become either grievously harmful or fatal. How many hospitals are voluntarily agreeing with those and following those?
That is the huge question. One of the things I think that is most surprising is it's impossible to know. There are no requirements that hospitals follow these recognized best practices. There is a movement by a national group called the AIM program that has put forth safety bundles that they've called for all maternity hospitals to adopt. And this isn't just some nonprofit group. This is a coalition of all of the leading medical societies, from the obstetricians to the midwives to nurses, have said these are evidence-based best practices that we should all be doing. But it's a voluntary area. And unfortunately, when I contacted 75 hospitals across the country to ask them some in-depth questions about are you or are you not doing these specific things, half of them would not even answer our questions.
It seems that there are ways to know what hospitals are doing in other cases. For instance, I believe that Medicare has regulations in place that hospitals that receive funds have to publicize data and their procedures. Why is this not in place for conditions like this?
It's a really good question. There is, the federal government has a website called Hospital Compare where you can find out detailed information about infection control practices and, you know, other sorts of quality measures for conditions that primarily involve the Medicare or the older population in our society. But similar data is not available to the public on complication rates when it comes to childbirth. What is the hemorrhage rate? How Do they give timely treatment for severe blood pressure? There are a variety of those kinds of measures that hospitals may be collecting internally, but they do not generally share that information with the public.
And Allison, as we wrap up, I do want to offer a hopeful scenario. California has been a very noticeable exception to this trend of rising maternal mortality. What is California doing that could hopefully be duplicated in other states?
So California is a huge outlier in the sense that as maternal deaths and harms have been going up elsewhere, California has dramatically reduced their harm rate. And experts say that a major factor in that is that they are one of the leading states where these kinds of best practices have been implemented and adopted by hospitals.
Well, Allison, thank you so much for your work on this and for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Allison Young is an investigative reporter for USA Today. She talked with Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson earlier today about the problem of maternal deaths in U.S. hospitals.